The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk.
Now, the HSE Chief Executive, Anne O'Connor, has told senior management the organisation is significantly over budget and the situation is serious. While a Dáil spending watchdog was announced in response to the €127,000 bike shed in Kerry Hospital. Here's Minister Helen McEntee defending a bike shed is a bit harsh. The container that was built at Kerry Hospital after Sinn Féin's Piers Doherty accused the government of being serial wasters of public money.
The €105.4 billion that was announced last year, the money that we'll spend this year on our budget, the money that was spent and announced in the last couple of weeks, or the money that was announced, that will go directly to those who need it. But we need to make sure that we have a balance, that we are investing in active travel, that we are encouraging people to cycle to work where they can, that we are investing in our communities, that it's not just going directly into the services and the infrastructure as well. But of course, I mean, nobody agrees with what happened here in Leinster House last year. And that's why the OPW have put in place new measures. That's why they've put forward changes to make sure that something like that can't happen again. But the project that you've mentioned in question, it went through the procurement process. It went through the proper guidelines. And what was delivered was what was decided was needed for the hospital in the place that it was located.
Okay, that was the Minister Helen McEntee, Foreign Affairs Minister, in the Dáil a little bit earlier. Let's bring in Padraig Rice, Social Democrat TD for Cork South Central and health spokesperson for the Sock Dems. Just before we get to the wider issue, the HSE overspend, Padraig, are you convinced by Helen McEntee's response in relation to the bike facility in Kerry Hospital?
I think I'm always concerned about government waste, and I think here it's clear they went for the more expensive option. There were cheaper options available to them, and I think we have to get value for money for the public funds that are spent. I'm a cyclist myself. You need somewhere safe to lock your bike. Unfortunately, bikes get robbed. But yeah, something simpler could be built in. And I think people in Kerry in particular are probably frustrated about this because of the lack of services. Like, we know in Killarney, for example, this community nursing home that was meant to open 2 years ago still hasn't opened. There are 1,000 children in Cork and Kerry waiting on the children and adolescent mental health services, half of them waiting over 12 months. So people in the region aren't being served by some of the health services with huge waiting lists. So then if they see money being spent, that maybe could have, where money could have been saved, there is a frustration there. And that applies across the health services. And we're particularly concerned around the huge agency spend, like €4 billion spent on agency staff since 2020. Which is a really expensive way to hire staff. And there's real savings that we made by having proper management of our staffing levels within the health service.
Okay, just lastly on the bike facility, the hub itself cost about €50,000. The rest were the bike racks, the steel bike racks, the VAS, which obviously is going back to the state anyway. Groundworks, including concrete demolition of curbs, came to about €40,000, CCTV, €16,000, and so on. So I'm presuming even if it went for the cheaper option, a lot of those costs would have happened anyway. They also did say that the cheaper option, they looked at them and they weren't suitable. Now, I'm not sure why it had to be enclosed. They said that was for security reasons and so on, but surely a good lock would do the job, would it not?
Yeah, a good lock and some CCTV usually does the job, and that's kind of all that cyclists want. And then we do need to encourage people to cycle as well. It's really important. It's good for the environment. It's good for people's health to get out and do it. And say we need to look at some of the cheaper options and ensure that the money is being spent well within the health service.
Is there a danger though that every project that's built now becomes a huge storm? I mean, this is small potatoes, really, the amount of money we're talking here. We could be talking maybe a savings of €30,000 or €40,000 if they'd gone for the other option when you include all the other work that needs to be done. Is there a danger we're blowing this out of proportion?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And I think for each project, though, it's worth seeing the cost-benefit analysis. Is it worth spending? No difference for household budget. You know, you look at these projects and you see, should I spend that money on the kitchen or do we go on a holiday? And you look at the best option and what's the best value for money, and you just don't waste money. And I think it's important that every project is considered and ensure that we're getting really good value for the money that's being spent. Even if it is saving €10,000 or €20,000, that all adds up and ensures that we do get better services because, you know, it is all of our money. We all pay taxes and we want to see that money spent well. It's hard-earned money and we need to get value for that money. So none of the money can be wasted. But
so let's talk about the
bigger waste, unfortunately.
Let's talk about the bigger picture. 250 million overspend by the HSE, and they're going to pause recruitment in some non-frontline roles, they're saying. And you're going to have to make a special case if you do want to hire somebody in a non-frontline role. That is pretty shocking, isn't it? A quarter of a billion euro overspent.
Absolutely. It's really concerning to see the poor management of the health budget overall. And we've been promised for a very long time multi-annual budgeting for health, promised since 2016, but never delivered. And we need to see a longer term health funding plan, which gives certainty for services, makes it easier to plan, ensures accountability, and is key to kind of the reform for health services. You know, like if you were buying a car, you would think about it in terms of 3 or 4 year spending, not just the one year. Like, can I pay this loan over a longer period of time? Certainly if you're signing up to do a degree, you think about the college fees over a number of years. We need to think about our health services in a similar way. We need to look out on a multi-annual basis. Because what we have at the moment is just year after year, issue after issue, and this kind of stop-start approach to recruitment.
No, I get it. And I'm not arguing with anything you're saying. It's entirely logical. But is it letting the HSE a little bit off the hook? I mean, the fact is, okay, we don't have multi-annual budgeting. Maybe we should, but we don't. They have a budget for the year. They should be sticking to it.
Oh, 100%. I think there should be far better management of the HSE budget. And a huge issue is around the agency spending. Since 2020, they spent 4 billion euro on agency staff. And this is the most expensive way to hire staff. Last year alone, 900 million on agency staff. And we know if you look at, for example, in mental health, it's 40% more expensive to hire staff through agency than direct hire. So it's a real waste of money, and it's bad for the staff, it's bad for patients, it's bad for the public purse. You know, people
reason why they do it, though. I mean, they're not just willy-nilly every year deciding to, let's just get agency staff in, even though there's no logic to it. There must be a logic to why they go for agency staff. It'd be greater flexibility, lower costs, maybe lower employment costs. There must be a reason why they continue to do so.
Certainly not lower costs, and the evidence shows otherwise, up to 40% more expensive to hire via agency staff. It is these kind of these short-term arbitrary cuts on permanent staff, and they do this stop on recruitment and they hire agency staff. But I'd say it doesn't give the long-term security for the person who's doing the job. It doesn't give the long-term continuity of care to the patient, and it costs a huge amount of money. So there's a huge waste in how they're hiring staff. There isn't any long-term planning of our workforce, what we need. This stopping of recruitment isn't based on patient need. And we have huge waiting lists across the health service.
Well, it's not frontline. It's probably not going to make a big difference to patients' needs, is it?
Well, absolutely it will, because somebody needs to do the admin work. And if we're stopping some of the people who are non-frontline, then the frontline workers get caught up doing this work.
I don't think anyone ever accused the HSE of lacking in administration numbers, did they?
Well, there's a whole range of different roles that are there to support the frontline staff workers. And if somebody isn't doing it, then that duties fall on the frontline workers whose time should be spent treating patients and doing clinical work. Okay. We know that there are a million people across the country on a hospital waiting list, 100,000 of those waiting over 12 months. Like, there are huge shortages right across our health service. And what we do know, and what the unions have said today, is this kind of recruitment embargo on the non-frontline is the first step, and often the next step is the frontline workers. And that would have a real impact on people who are across the country waiting for treatment, waiting to see a doctor, waiting to be seen. And it's not acceptable. We need far better management of our health services.
All right. Final question before I let you go. The Soc Dems had the chance in each of the last three general elections, 2016, 2020, 2024. It was there for you if you wanted to go into government. And by going into government to demand the Department of Health and implement Sláintecare, which I know the party is very gung-ho about implementing, you didn't do it. You chose to remain as hurlers on the ditch. After the next general election, will you go into government or will you stay in opposition? And will you go into government and actually try and change the kind of things you're talking about?
I would love to be in government, but it's what kind of government we want, and it's the kind of policies we want. And we did talk to other parties after the election, but they weren't serious about the kind of reform that we want to see in this country. They weren't serious about universal healthcare, about delivering affordable housing.
I don't think the Soc Dems were serious about going into government. With due respect, Padraig, I never got the vibe that you wanted to go into government. There was a distaste at the idea of going in with Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael. Like, you mightn't get the perfect government, but you get in there and you get it done. You try and do your best. Should that not be the ethos?
Absolutely. And as I said, I would love to be in government. I would love to be delivering the kind of change that we want to see. And we need to have more seats to do that. We won 11 seats in this election. We're competitive in two of the by-elections. We're hopefully going to come back with two more seats. And after the general election, I hope we win far more seats. And I hope that we do enter government and deliver the kind of change.
Are you waiting for the perfect? Like the PDs during the 1990s with four seats managed to dictate the course of the government. You don't need to have 20 seats to dictate a government.
You do need to have a serious impact on a government, and the current government gets up to 90 votes in every vote we have in the door. But for us, it's really about the programme for government. It's about the policies, and it's about the change in policies. And Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael are not interested in change. They're not interested in reform for health services. They're not interested in delivering affordable housing. They're not interested in the environmental crisis we have. We want to see real change for this country, yeah. A more equal, a fairer Ireland for everybody. And that's what we want to deliver, and that's what we're knocking on doors, and that's what we're campaigning for every single day.
Great be the enemy of good. You're looking for the perfect situation before you get in and actually try and do something. It's never going to happen.
I don't think that's fair. We've never set that out. We set out after the general election, we set out our deal breakers, and we set out very clearly our five deal breakers, and Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael didn't agree to them. And they were about housing, about healthcare, about climate, and about childcare. And they didn't agree with our deal breakers, so that broke the deal. And we didn't set out for everything. We had a long manifesto, but we picked five red lines, five deal breakers that we wanted to deliver. And they were based on the conversations we had with people on the doors right across the country. There are people in my constituency in Cork who are really struggling to access housing. We have thousands of people who are homeless. We have a million people waiting.
We know that.
We need change. Yeah. Absolutely need change. And I want to deliver it. I want to be part of a government that does that. But we need real reform.
It wasn't if you weren't just afraid of leaving the path clear to Labour in opposition and losing seats in the next general election, that had nothing to do with it.
Absolutely not. It was about the programme and about what can be delivered in government, what meaningful change we can deliver for people in Ireland.
Okay, Padraig, thanks indeed for talking to us. Padraig Rice there, Soc Dem TD for Cork South Central and health spokesperson for his party.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman. This is News Talk.